Scotland has decided to oust Sturgeon, or should I say that Sturgeon has decided to oust herself because all of Scotland hates her, which is an impressive feat given that she is the, well, soon to be was, the leader of the Scottish National Party, which seems to have a complete monopoly over elections across all of Scotland, except for maybe one or two Labour strongholds that hold out there.
There are some Scottish Tories as well, but they're sort of an endangered breed.
I would be very excited to see somebody in public in Scotland admit that they're a Tory. I don't think that they would get a particularly good response.
It's a good way to get a Glasgow smile, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. But yeah, everyone hates Sturgeon, and it's gotten to the point now where Sturgeon's presence as the head of the Scottish National Party is threatening their bid for independence, which is the whole reason that they exist in the first place. Because instead of going for independence and other policies that would try and push for that and promoting that cause, she's decided to go all in hog wild on gender ideology, which has not proven very popular. But before I speak about this any further, let's just take a look at a Contemplations that you had recently with Connor, which you should watch if you haven't already. I'm sure it's very, very good it's called How to Spot a Liar. Now, I know when we're talking about politicians, it's not particularly difficult. Are they a politician?
I made that exact joke within the first minute of the video.
I bet you did. If they are a politician, they are a liar.
Or a journalist.
Or a journalist, simple as. But what are the other telltale signs, would you say, and how would you describe this discussion you had?
What we talked about were some of the tests that you can set up, say the polygraph test, as well as lots of tests that are in development. So you can use things like brain imaging to see the neural pathways that are enacted, which is a far more reliable way than a polygraph test that can be cheated. We tell you how to cheat it as well as the more colloquial ways of spotting someone.
Not to be too crass, is it true that if you clench your
buttocks
when you're on a polygraph test, that it throws all of the responses
off?
Yes,
you can bite your tongue as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's lots of things you can do. You can also just think of something else.
Think of myself wandering down a lovely field on a midsummer's afternoon.
If you have control over your mind, which hopefully you should.
Because the only thing a polygraph test is measuring is your heart rate, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to infer from particular changes in the heart rate.
Well, it measures a few things.
Oh, okay.
It also measures like your respiration and your galvanic skin response, which is the amount of sweat you're producing. It tests the electrical conductivity in your sweat.
Lovely. Okay, so if you look like one of the guys from L.A. Noire when they lie, you're probably lying.
Yes.
Is there any L.A. Noire clips in this video?
We do mention it.
Oh.
We also mentioned Prince Andrew.
Because I really want you to have included that clip of that guy who's so obviously lying and goes, I don't know nothing about it, and then he just pauses and goes...
That's quite a good impression as well.
I still can't believe... I know that was like a basic tutorial one in that game, but I still can't believe they made it so obvious.
Anyway,
you should check that out. It's so for premium subscribers, so if you just want to pay as little as £5 a month for a bronze tier subscription, you can watch that. And all of the other episodes, there's 110 other episodes of Contemplations, because Josh has been a very busy boy.
Oh, I have.
Anyway, back onto it. So the reason everybody hates Nicola Sturgeon is for things like this. A woman, a beautiful feminine woman, as we can see
that
from
this picture.
That
looks like a woman
here to me. I mean, I don't know what they get up to at Bath University, but fair play.
That was sarcasm.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes in Scotland, it can be difficult to tell.
Well, that's true.
Half my family are Scottish before you descend on me, Scots.
But we've got issues like this where Tiffany Scott, a man formerly known by the name of Andrew Burns, had the potential of being transferred into a women's prison because he says he's a woman. So therefore, just throw the wolf in with the sheep. Why don't we? This is an excellent idea.
I like how he changed his surname to Scott. Just like, yes, I'm going to get people to support me because
that's right.
Scots.
I'm a patriot. I hate the fact that this BBC article, the same with articles by other mainstream sources when they talk about somebody like Ezra Miller and refer to him as they, while also describing how he, you know, groomed children and such. Mm-hmm. They're describing Tiffany Scott using the pronoun of she because the BBC is a completely broken and captured institution. But this man was serving an indefinite sentence as Xi is subject to an order for lifelong restriction, meaning that he will only be released when he is no longer considered an unmanageable risk to public safety. So what we want to do is throw him in with women. This seems, you know, public safety, that's one thing. And I understand that women in prisons, you know, they're criminals, they've done bad things, but I think it's something ridiculous like 95% of women in prisons are there for non-violent offences. Mm-hmm. They're not psychopathic murderers, the vast majority of them, and they don't deserve to be mistreated when in prison by throwing in actual violent male prisoners.
It's also a good way to breed contempt from the actual prison population if you endanger them in ways. They're just like, well, society has allowed this man to be in this women's prison. Well, why should I care about reforming myself when they're doing this to me?
That's a good point as well. But he was handed that sentence in 2013 after admitting to stalking a 13-year-old girl. And in 2017, Falkirk Sheriff Court was locked down amid safety fears as Scott was sentenced over a series of violent incidents in Glenockley Prison in Clerkmannanshire? It's Scottish.
I can't see where it is. I would be able to pronounce it.
These violent incidents included striking a prison nurse on her back with a hurled chair, so he is known for violence against women. Interesting. Punching a prison officer in the face and spitting at another officer and trying to bite him. He also smeared excrement all over his cell, tore a drip needle out of his arm, and ripped up tear-proof clothing.
How did he do that?
I guess it's just his wild feminine strength must have allowed him to do it.
His skills as a seamstress. That's what it was.
Yeah, that must have been what it was. So Scotland, thankfully, the Scottish government, as far as I'm aware, is still going ahead with this transfer because the top of the article says, has been urged to block the transfer of a violent prisoner, not has blocked. So it might still be going ahead, but we'll see what happens when Sturgeon is out, if any of this nonsense continues. We've also got this article from the Times, and I will admit, this one is a little bit sneakily worded in the title, because it says 4 of 5 trans inmates in women's prisons are murderers, which makes it sound like 4 in 5. Mm-hmm. But if you read the article, it says Scottish prison authorities have been criticised for endangering vulnerable women after it emerged that 4 of the 5 transgender inmates. So there are only 5 transgender inmates being held in female prisons, but of
still
those
5 too many.
Yeah, that's still 5 too many. 1 would be too many, and 4 of those 5 people are violent murderers.
Yeah, I can see a problem here.
You know, if it was some meek little twink who went down for tax fraud or something and didn't want to be the prison bitch deciding, "Oh, I'm a girl now, please put me in with the women." That would be more forgivable. I would still say no, but it would be more forgivable. But when you're just throwing in murderers, that's not great. It's not a great look.
Mm.
When talking about situations like this, in particular the more recent Isla Bryson, a rapist formerly known as Adam Graham, who I've covered before on the podcast, when discussing situations like this, because what happened though is that Adam was supposed to be transferred over to a women's prison, and the Scottish government, after massive outcry from the public, decided to go back on that. Nicola Sturgeon was questioned about this by the media, and she did not have a particularly good response and seemed to have no bloody clue what she was on about, to be honest. So let's play this clip, eh?
My question is, are all trans women women? You haven't answered that question.
Well, that's not the point that we're dealing with.
That's
yet.
The question I'm asking.
Trans women are women, but in the prison context, there is no automatic right for a trans woman.
So there are contexts where a trans woman is not a woman?
No, there is there is circumstances in which a trans woman will be housed in the male prison estate.
Is there any context in which a woman born as a woman will be housed in the male estate?
Look, we're talking here about trans women.
And I'm now asking about women born as women.
I don't think there are circumstances there. But
so it's different for trans women?
Well, yes, and I'm not...
So they're not equal?
That is not... there is a risk assessment process done for trans women that takes account of the nature of the crime. Significant concern arises out of sexual crime and whether it's appropriate for them to be in a female prison or a male prison.
I almost felt some secondhand cringe there if I didn't feel so...
Twisting herself in circles, it seems that Scottish Dennis the Menace can't really understand her own ideology. This is what happens when you take an abstract and theoretical ideology like gender ideology, which just says blanket, oh, you can be whatever you want, don't worry about it, and then smack it headfirst into reality. Mm-hmm. Just the two cannot coexist with one another, because otherwise you are going to end up putting rapists and murderers in prison with women, vulnerable women who are probably only in prison for non-violent crimes. That doesn't mean that they don't deserve to be in prison, but it does mean that they don't deserve to be put in a situation where they're potentially going to get raped by male prisoners that they've been put in with. That's a pretty heinous thing, as far as I'm concerned, and a sign of a society that's not doing that great. You know, this whole thing, I look around and I think, we're not doing well over here in the West, are we? A little bit concerning, a little bit disconcerting.
Yeah, we're voluntarily putting rapists in women's prisons. I mean, I'm sure people from elsewhere outside of the Western sphere are just like, what is going on over there? Are they losing their minds?
Yeah, and in Scottish NHS, they've been trying to push this as well on the staff members who haven't really been going along with it as much as the Scottish government would like. So Daily Mail reporting that more than 10,000 Progress Pride pin badges ordered for Scottish NHS staff lying unused in storage after ideological scheme was snubbed by health workers. And I think I think it's about 40% of the badges remained in storage. This is a good thing to me. I wish it was all of the badges had remained in storage, because honestly, if I went to a hospital and saw that the nurse or doctor or somebody that was working on me was wearing an ideology pride pin, I would get slightly worried about what treatment that I would get if they were aware of who I am and what I believe. Because all of a sudden I think to myself, am I going to get shoddy? I mean, it's the NHS, so I'm probably going to get shoddy treatment. But am I going to get shoddy treatment purely because this person disagrees with me on an ideological level? Because there's the Hippocratic Oath, right? You're not supposed harm, and you're supposed to treat all of your patients the same, even if they're somebody that you would hate personally. You have a certain duty of care. But I know that that doesn't apply to a lot of leftists. I know that that doesn't apply to a lot of people who let ideology drive them insane. We saw over COVID, for instance, a lot of people just saying, oh, if you didn't get vaccinated, you should just, I hope you drop dead. Just to prove my point that getting the vaccine was the best decision, I hope you drop dead. So I know that people can get a little bit nutty.
Yeah, all it would take would be, oh, sorry, I mixed up our malaria jab with the lethal injection. So you've only got a few minutes left to live.
Good night.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I worry about such things. But thankfully, a lot of Scottish staff seem to be rejecting it. And then we get to the more just outright we hate you stuff, where 10 Scots said that they thought the sturgeon should stand down. This was after the blocking of the gender recognition bill by the UK Parliament as well, because the gender recognition reform bill was going to make it so that instead of having to be at least 18 and having to have at least lived 2 years, I think it is, in your chosen gender, so to speak, then you can go ahead with, say, hormone blockers and other types of surgery and such. It was going to change it to you can have it as early as 16, and you only have to have, if you're 16 to 17, I think it was 6 months, you have to have lived it. And if you're above the age of 18, it was only 3 months. So it was going to make it massively easier to transition legally on paper as well as in every other aspect.
There's also the fact that alongside the conversion therapy ban that is being done in Westminster, it'd also be very difficult to go back.
Which is explicitly a ban to try and prevent any non-affirming trans therapies. Mm-hmm. You know, if we go, well, before we start to prescribe you harmful hormones that will sterilise you and then chop parts of your body off, let's see if we can fix the mental problems that you're obviously suffering from. Mm-hmm. There you go. No, that's illegal now. That's evil. You just hate gay people. Mm-hmm. You're just like conservative Christians from the 90s.
It's a very strange decision, because the majority of psychologists, especially clinical psychologists, treat gender dysphoria as something I can't say on YouTube. But politicians seemingly know better. And they're just like, yes, this is perfectly normal.
I have a person, not directly related to me, but related in the family, shall we say, who is trans, who understands the intricacies of it from a medical perspective, like you say, in the way that I can't say for the sake of YouTube, and has actively been kicked off of trans forums and referred to as a TERF, said that you're trying to transgenocide, all that sort of stuff, just for reminding these other people on these forums, actually what we've got is redacted for YouTube.
I hope you can read between the lines.
I hope you can. So this is giving in to the complete lunacy of the trans activists rather than people who recognize that they are suffering from something and just want to get that suffering resolved. There are a lot of people who jump onto it as a stylistic trend. almost. It's, they see it as a lifestyle choice rather than something that will probably cause irreparable damage to them on a biological level. So this article says that a survey for the Sunday Times found that 42% of respondents thought that she should stand down right now. 45% said that she should remain as First Minister until at least the next Holyrood election.
Which is Scottish Parliament, by the way, if you're not familiar.
And 13%, didn't know. The poll also found that the majority of those who expressed a view had safety concerns about the Gender Recognition Reform Bill. Unsurprising.
Yeah.
Which was passed by the members of Scottish Parliament in December and blocked by the UK government. Poll found that Finance Secretary Kate Forbes, who is on maternity leave, was the most popular choice to succeed Ms Sturgeon, with 7% of respondents backing her. So I did look into her a little bit.
Only 7% as well. No. Most popular.
Of all of the choices, who knows what other choices were presented in the poll. But I looked into her. I know that there's some other people saying that there's others who are in contention who might be replacing her. But for her, she was, she had some leftist beliefs, but she also was gender critical. And shockingly enough for a potential political leader in the modern age, very Christian and very anti-abortion, which shocked me that people would have been supportive of her jumping to it. Then again, maybe her other leftist beliefs outweigh it.
I would imagine that would probably be the case, because I imagine that there's not really an appetite for, say, restricting abortion in Scotland.
I have seen many talk about how, just purely from the Scottish perspective, the only thing that really matters above all else, we'll get onto all the other subjects afterwards, is independence. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be rolled into independence. And if you're the sort of person that doesn't, that wants to focus on other things, you need to be thrown aside so that we can get somebody in who's going to get what we want done.
Yeah. And I don't know how you feel about independence necessarily, but I think we should get a shot of them.
Yeah,
I'm saying that affectionately. I'm being a bit facetious, but if there's an appetite for it, and I don't necessarily think it's fair on the minority that would vote remaining. I think that's a tyranny enacted upon them.
But at the same time, if the vast majority of Scottish opinion does want independence one way or the other, then I do think it's fair to, in a democratic society. I thought the whole point of the fact is will of the majority, the general will, to speak.
But I think that there's a different political climate in Scotland to the rest of the UK. Maybe there's some similarities between Wales and Scotland, more so than England and Northern Ireland. But England is typically more conservative and Scotland is typically more liberal. And we're basically having to compromise when we don't actually need to. And also, we are net taxpayers, right? Yeah. And we're paying Scotland more money than that they're giving us in return. So I think that if they want to go it alone, they're going to see that it's actually far more difficult than perhaps the SNP will find out. But there we go. I still feel very sorry for Scots in the situation.
Yeah. Anyway, let's on to this article as well, talking about a poll saying that there is a Lord Ashcroft poll that revealed the gulf between Scottish Government and voters on independence and gender reforms. After Sturgeon announced the SNP would fight the next general election as a de facto referendum on independence, polling of more than 2,100 people by Lord Ashcroft found that a majority, including many sceptical SNP supporters, were not behind the move. In a representative sample of Scots aged 60 and over, only 1 in 5 agreed that the next general election should be taken as the de facto independence, whereas everybody else, 2 in 3 agreed that people vote elections for lots of different reasons. So that's showing that people are... The wording of that is a little bit sneaky, but I think that it shows that people aren't as eager for it under Sturgeon, because I think they're thinking that what's going to happen, okay, we get independence from England and then we're going to get all of this crazy radical ideology passed through as legislation. When asked which three main issues they thought Sturgeon and her administration treat as their main concerns, Scottish independence came up, followed by gender recognition and trans right at 46%. So Scottish independence was top at 65%. And if a referendum was to be held tomorrow, the yes side was lose, the poll suggests, with 44% saying they would vote for independence and 56% set to vote against it, excluding those who don't know or would not vote. So what it seems there as well as because it says that most of the people, especially those who said they would vote against it, were saying, well, I don't want the gender recognition for reform bill. What's happened is Sturgeon came in, said, we're going to do all this crazy leftist nonsense, and then the UK government blocks it, and all of the Scottish people are like, maybe the UK government's not bad for everything. It's hilarious to me that in the course of just, what, a few years of her going absolutely nuts on all of this stuff, it's turned the Scottish people against independence just because they're like, listen, we want independence, but we don't want independence under you.
I think the best thing that turns people against socialist rule is socialist rule, funnily enough.
Mm. Even to the point that Alex Salmond made a speech recently, which I think took place at an ALBA conference. If you're aware, ALBA is another Scottish party that's going for independence.
That's his party.
It's his party after he got ousted, well, after he quit and then got defamed by the SNP.
Political defamation, really.
Yes, and he made this little speech. And if we just go back to the beginning, let's look. Watch, if you don't mind, just playing a little bit of this, John, just the first minute of it or so.
We have a chance of gaining our independence, and no part of the Scottish community would feel threatened or isolated or disregarded or not appreciated. And that strategy, and that's where it was. I thought this was well understood. I thought everybody who wanted to see an independent country understood that you must open your heart and your mind to every part and section of that population. But to get to a position where you say to a majority of our people that you cannot have single-sex spaces prized and worked and strived for because of some daft ideology imported from elsewhere, and as we've seen, imperfectly understood by its proponents in Scotland, borders on the totally absurd. And the 6% decline in independence vote over a month.
You can pause it there. So yeah, over the course of a single month, 6% decline in people wanting to vote for independence, which I think is what tipped the scales in it suddenly being like, well, if we did it, it would be a no. And people don't like that. So, like I say, she's decided to resign. Bye-bye. Let's take a look at the average Scotsman's reaction. If we go to the next link, John. There we go. And Count Dankula himself, if we just hover over his account, I think we can see that he's positioning himself as the next follow-up to Sturgeon. He's got his little red suit on. He's looking very powerful, very happy. He's happy to serve the Scottish people. So maybe give him a chance. But most importantly, we got a lovely statement from the Donald Trump himself, which, let's just read this because this is hilarious. Good riddance to the failed woke extremist Nicola Sturgeon of Scotland. This crazed leftist symbolises everything wrong with identity politics. Sturgeon thought it was okay to put a biological man in a woman's... I'm turning into a South Park character.
I did think that's what...
I mean, Trump is basically a South Park character, come on. In a woman's prison. If that wasn't bad enough, she fought for the gender recognition reform bill that would have allowed 16-year-old children to change their gender without medical advice. I built the greatest golf properties in the world in Scotland, but she fought me all the way, making my job much more difficult. The wonderful people of Scotland are much better off without Sturgeon in office, and hopefully Trump, now that she's out of the way, can build as many glorious golf courses all over the Highlands as he wants.
I'm not sure that Trump built St. Andrews, did he?
I love that that's what he decides to focus on.
He's never one to pass.
Great again.
He's never one to pass up an opportunity to brag.
No, he really isn't. So
to be fair, they are good golf courses.
Yeah, I'm sure. I have no trust that her successor will really be that much better. Probably the exact same brand of leftist, just with less gender ideology sprinkled in there. But at least for now, bye bye.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the premium videos, this one on Aristotle, on justice and merit. If you'd like to find out what else The Lotus Eaters are putting out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.